Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 11, Maintenance versus Repairs. This one, I'm going to talk about, basically maintenance versus repairs. The first thing to talk about, and this is kind of an interesting stat, the biggest, as far as books go in this country that are out there, whether they be in whatever format they may be, the biggest number of, what do you want to call it, unread, non-read, people are not reading, okay? Their owner's manual for their car, believe it or not. It is, when you consider how many millions of cars are out there, and they're all supposed to come with an owner's manual, certainly when they're new, and they are available, people don't read them. And it's certainly a very good source of information for just not only different systems in your cars, and, you know, certainly if a light comes on, you don't know what it is, go to the owner's manual. But also, getting back to maintenance, there is normally some kind of a maintenance checklist, recommended things to be done, or things that have to be done maybe to maintain the warranty, depending upon what kind of a warranty that comes with your car. I can speak of BMW in that it used to be that when you had to pay for all repairs, as far as stuff that was non-warranty, and this was up until about the 95 model year, if you didn't do that, your responsibility to maintain your warranty was to have the services done, the maintenance done on it. If you didn't do that and it developed into some kind of a potential warranty issue, you could end up where warranty would not cover a repair because you didn't do what you were supposed to do in regards to maintaining the car. It's more common these days, and again, I can certainly speak of BMW, that from the 95 model year, they went to what's kind of called prepaid maintenance. It's not free. You're basically paying for it in the original price of the car. But at that point, your only responsibility and obligation is to, when the car's due for maintenance, is to get it to the dealership. And beyond that, you can wash your hands. You just assume that they're doing what they're supposed to do and your car is being maintained properly. But bottom line is that certainly the least that should be done to the car from a maintenance standpoint is at least follow what the owner's manual says to do. I would recommend what you're going to potentially find is there's going to be sort of like a standard service type menu or recommendation list, and there's also potentially going to be what's called severe duty use or something to that effect. If you actually read, assuming they supply you with, if you actually read the definition of regular service use versus severe, most of us are typically driving severe, especially if we're talking about California or certainly Southern California. But essentially what they typically have in there are things like this would be considered severe duty use, extended idling periods, extended stop and go driving, short distance driving, high speed driving, and obviously if you're, you know, having fun with the car. But even those things as simple as what I just mentioned, those are all typically fall into severe duty use type of driving style. And so typically what they do on that is they'll recommend like oil changes more often, so on and so forth. Okay, oil changes, air filter replacement, things like that. Again, I mean, if you care about the car, if you're planning on keeping it, I would basically go right to the severe duty usage schedule and follow that as what to look at as a minimum. Okay. In regards to maintenance in this country, the U.S., and this figure I'm going to give you has been around actually for a long time. It's been pretty much mostly the same figure. I think it's just relative to, you know, it's relative to time, so to speak. But in this country, supposedly, and I've read this many, many times, people, as far as what's called unperformed maintenance, And I, you know, for me being a shop owner and also being certainly a consumer, I started to wanted to break it down of, well, is this dollar figure I'm going to give you, is this based off of that the customer didn't know what's supposed to be done, the shop didn't do their job and recommend things, and based on that, that these different maintenance things, items were not done? Because in that respect, it's not really the customer's fault. But what I found out in doing some more reading and research is, no, this dollar figure is based off of what the customer was told to do or recommended to do, and they chose not to do it. And that dollar amount, this is total cars per year, or total dollar amount per year of unperformed maintenance, $60 billion a year. So we, in general, are, as a society and people, we're not real good about taking care of our cars. And it's going to get, you know, there are some states in this country, although frankly, as I read different articles, this is more common in the Midwest and back east because of weather and climate. There are definitely still some states in this country that you have to go through, the car has to go through some sort of a safety check per se, whatever that means, where you're getting a sticker or whatever that says, yes, my, you know, my brakes have been checked. And again, it kind of varies from state to state. California has nothing. Okay. The only thing we have is we have our smog laws, and the car has to be past smog every other year. And even that, it depends on if it's beyond a certain age of a car. No, it's exempt. If it's 5 years old or less, it's exempt, which sort of makes sense. I mean, the car is probably still under factory warranty at that point. So, but in any case, there are, like I say, there are states in this country that have some sort of a minimum safety check that if the car doesn't pass that, again, I don't keep track of, you know, what the states do in regards to if the car doesn't pass and you choose to not have the work done or you can't afford to or whatever. That whole scenario is going to vary from state to state. But, you know, like I say, if it doesn't get the safety sticker, there's going to be some kind of ramifications because obviously that particular state is concerned about having, you know, people driving safe cars, what would be considered safe cars. I can tell you over in Europe, and again, this is probably because of the Autobahn, if your car doesn't pass the safety, you're not driving it. It's not leaving the shop, period, end of story. I've talked with, you know, German shop owners and people that are from Europe. They, in that country, when you take your car to the repair shop, they simply call you and tell you when it's done. In other words, they don't have to call you for any kind of, you know, dollar or repair authorizations or what we call upsells. And again, in this country, that can vary from state to state. But certainly in California, there's an initial estimate. And, you know, you have to be notified of any additional work, and you have to, and you can choose whether you want to do it or not. So maintenance is very important, and it's going to get real interesting in the future. Again, I've read some recent articles talking about driverless cars, autonomous cars, and certainly these new services where you can potentially make your car available for rental. You basically become your own rental agency, so to speak. Obviously, it's done through some sort of a internet-based, you know, business that they do the scheduling and stuff for you, but you basically make your car available. There's already talk in the industry, and as far as from legal standpoints, that, again, with like Uber and so on and so forth, again, I don't know what their contract is, but if you're making your car available for other people, guess who's going to potentially be held responsible for many maintenance issues where the car is either breaking down or it would actually be considered unsafe? I mean, right now, because of consumer protection laws in most of this country, you know, consumers kind of get to claim ignorance in regards to if their car is unsafe and there's an accident. You know, frankly, I really don't know how much authorities are involved in investigating, well, what was the condition of this car, and maybe the fact that it hadn't been maintained properly either contributed to or caused the accident at hand, okay? Because again, this is just, you're the owner of the car and you're a consumer and you're just driving around, okay? But it all becomes more interesting from legal standpoints and so on and so forth, if you make your car available as a rental, or certainly if you're an Uber driver or, Lyft or any of those popular, drive type, ride situations. And so maintenance will probably become a lot more important in the future. There is a point certainly where unperformed maintenance becomes a repair. It becomes a potential for it. A perfect example would be like spark plug replacement. Let's say that the manufacturer recommends as normal maintenance to have a spark plugs replaced at 60,000 miles. Well, if you don't do it, there is a point where obviously those spark plugs, yes, they do wear out, and they become a point where they start misfiring. In other words, the spark is not happening at all, or it's not happening as reliably as it's supposed to. It becomes weak, so on and so forth. And you start having a misfire, rough idle, poor performance, poor acceleration. Now that maintenance item now becomes a repair. And the sad part about it is that at some point it's going to turn on, assuming you have a later model car, beyond about 1995 or later, it's going to turn on what's called a service engine soon light. Well, I mean, I certainly have had situations in my shop where a customer makes the appointment and they said, yeah, it's running rough, and the service engine soon light is on. And either over the phone, if I have time, I may start asking them about, well, what's the maintenance history on this car? Or certainly when they're standing in front of me, they brought the car in, and from a mileage standpoint, I know, okay, well, this particular car is supposed to have plugs done at 60,000, and it's now got 85, 90, 100,000 miles on it. I'm going to ask them, well, how long have you had the car? And certainly if it's been before 60,000 miles, I'm going to ask them, well, do you recall ever having spark plugs replaced? And they may not know, or they don't remember, or they'll go, no, I definitely haven't. Okay, well, at that point, it's, well, I can tell you for free that this is what BMW says they're supposed to be done at 60,000 miles, but, and so we can, figure up an estimate for replacing spark plugs right off the bat. But the thing is that light can come on for literally hundreds, if not a thousand or more reasons. So just replacing spark plugs may or may not actually fix the problem. And so now you're potentially doing some diagnostics and testing to find out, well, is it just the spark plugs or is it other things that are hiding in the background? So potentially you now have additional expenses that you may very well have not had if you simply just maintain the car. I would recommend, and again, I certainly can talk about BMW, but I mean, this probably is certainly applicable to any of the cars out there. I would recommend doing oil changes and checkups more often than what the manufacturer says to. And this becomes even more important as the car gets older. It's, again, I can speak of BMW specifically, but I think if you were to, depending on, whichever car you have as far as manufacturer, whatever, they're all kind of, in some respect, doing this. And that is they're, over the years, they've been extending out the maintenance intervals. BMW specifically, prior to the 99 model year, if you were the average driver, you drove the car in kind of a quote unquote normal way. Oil services would be at about 7,500 miles. Inspection one services would be at about 15,000 miles. And inspection two services, which was the most major service, was at about 30,000 miles. And of course, obviously, as they would just keep rotating through, so to speak. Okay. In the 99 model year and later, when they went to what BMW called the prepaid maintenance agreement, all of those mileages doubled. Okay, so now oil services were at 15, inspection ones were at 30, and inspection twos were at 60,000. Sounds real good. It's a great marketing tool. The customer, the driver of the car, basically has the feeling of, well, gosh, I hardly ever have to do anything to the car. Works great, works okay, when the car is still under warranty, which is, again, on a BMW, that's 4 years, 50,000 miles, whichever comes first. The issue is that as the car gets older, Everything in the car is aging, okay? And so what potentially happens is that, realize that if you think about it, let's say you're the average driver in this country, in the US, the average driver puts on 15,000 miles a year. California, by chance, is 19,000, but let's just go with the 15,000-mile figure. It means that as far as in BMW and looking at their inspection checklist, in other words, what's supposed to be done at an oil service versus an inspection, an oil service is just that. It's changed the oil and filter, possibly put in a AC microfilter, and basically give the car a really quickie look over, if at all. Okay, it's really more of oil change, and that's pretty much it. Okay. An inspection service, whether it be one or two, part of doing that service, if it's done properly, is to actually visually, there's a lot of checks that are done. Lighting system, fluid levels, steering, suspension, tires. It's a very, again, if it's done properly, it's a very thorough visual look over of the whole car. And then anything that is found during that process is, should be an estimate is written and the customer is talked with. And again, certainly in the state of California, you can choose to do something or not do it. But it is a very thorough, look over of the whole car. So that part of the service, again, if you follow what BMW says, that look over of the car is only happening every other year. Okay, it's happening at 30,000-mile intervals, which again, when the car is relatively new, that works out okay because everything on the car is relatively new. Where it starts to get more interesting, and this is what, manufacturers don't talk about. I mean, they're basically leading the consumer into a false sense of security over time. Okay, so what potentially happens as the car gets older? It whoever's who's ever professional is looking at this car and looking it over. The reality is, if you follow what BMW says, and if you think about it, it means that he's only going to be he or she is only going to be doing that visual look over of the car once every 2 years. Okay, so what happens is that it forces the technician to not only see what they see today, assuming the car is in the shop, it also means they're supposed to somehow foretell the future for the next 2 years because that's the next time they're going to be doing that same visual inspection. That's not a good idea. As the car gets older, things are going to start happening because everything on the car is aging. And so that ideology of doing that major service every other year does not hold true as the car gets older. You are going to end up with a car that becomes less reliable, less dependable, and potentially where things happen to where you're either on the side of the road, you're inconvenienced in some way or another. Okay. And so this is why, and when I'm talking with customers, I'm trying to find out what their goals are, and I'm certainly going to be recommending maintenance that is going to fit to what their goals are and their usage. Okay, so this is why I will definitely tweak, certainly what BMW says to do, but it's also based off of what the customer, hopefully at least they're going to do what BMW recommends, minimum. Okay. Again, if they're keeping the car, especially for the long term, up over well over 100,000 miles, then I would definitely recommend doing things more often. The other thing too about maintenance is that maintenance can be easily scheduled. Okay, the car's not broken. It doesn't have any kind of a symptom necessarily. When things are going to be coming up, whether you check it on yourself or your shop keeps you informed of that. Maintenance can be scheduled, maintenance work. The issue with not doing maintenance and then it becomes a repair. I mean, if it now the car is running poorly or again, if you don't have it checked over visually, you're not catching things when they're either just starting or they're about to start, or there's something it's got a small oil leak and all of a sudden it becomes a big one. So now it becomes a repair, and you're trying to avoid obviously being on the side of the road. So you know, again, this is why I'm such kind of a big advocate of maintenance, is because it does benefit, you know, you, the driver of the car, and the customer, because maintenance can be scheduled. Repairs are, you know, if you're on the side of the road, now it's almost an emergency. And, you know, the repair shop may go, well, we want to take you in, but we'll take the car, but we can't work on it for 3 days or something. And so, you know, maintenance can be scheduled. Getting back to the, you know, I kind of already talked about the BMW prepaid maintenance agreement. One of the things that's kind of interesting is, again, that started in 1999. It covered the first 4 years or 50,000 miles of the life of the car. And it covered pretty much everything that was considered maintenance. It didn't cover tires, but, you know, brakes and whatever was the normal maintenance things to be done, oil changes, air filter replacement, cabin air filters, you know, light bulbs. It covered quite a bit. So from that standpoint, it was a decent program. What I don't agree with it is, again, I don't agree with the extended intervals that they worked with. But, you know, that's just my own personal opinion based on years of working on the cars. And again, I do, you know, tweak it one way or the other, depending upon what each individual customer is looking for out of their car. It's important that you know, consider what are your goals for the car? How many miles do you put on in a year? What's your plans for the car? Are you planning on keeping it? Do you love the car? Do you plan on keeping it well beyond 120,000, 130,000 miles and beyond? Because if you are, you definitely want to go to a shorter span type maintenance interval on oil changes and major services. But in any case, in 1999, they went to this prepaid maintenance agreement. And, you know, like I say, the biggest advantage of that is it does cover the cost of brakes, which, you know, can be kind of pricey on a BMW. And just real quick, the average person on a BMW, they seem to get about 25 to 40,000 miles out of front brakes and about 40 to 60 out of rear brakes. So when we consider that prepaid maintenance agreement, you're going to get one, maybe two brake jobs during that period of time, that 4 years, 50,000. Beyond that, you're paying for them. And if you're really easy on the brakes, like super easy, you may not even get any brake jobs out of it. But the bottom line is that it's still been figured into it as a cost per unit basis when they originally priced the car. So, you know, they're figuring it in. And if you use up the car, so to speak, sooner than what they're figuring, it's going to end up costing them less than versus someone else. The interesting thing is that in the around mid 2015, I believe it was the 2015 model year, they reduced that maintenance available from 4 years, 50,000, which, by the way, it was transferable with the ownership of the car. Okay, so it still had value regardless of how many people owned the car up to 4 years, 50,000 miles. They went to, in the 2015, I believe it was, model year, about mid-year, they went from 4 year 50,000 to 3 years 36,000 miles, and it was no longer transferable. It was only transferable if the new owner lived in the same household. So basically it's, you know, mom or dad selling the car, giving the car, whatever, the registration changing to someone else at the same address. Otherwise, it's null and void, which means the value of that maintenance program just went to Zippo. Interesting. I'm not sure what, you know, I don't know if BMW got tired of paying for it. I'm not sure what happened. But obviously, again, if you buy a later model car, unless you're buying it brand new, you're not going to be able to get that prepaid maintenance agreement anyway, because it's no longer transferable. The biggest thing you really, you know, need to look at, regardless of the miles on the car of whatever you have or you're thinking about getting, is what are your goals for the car? You kind of sort of look at, I realize it's a subjective conversation, but you have to look at how you're driving the car. You know, again, getting back to that severe duty usage thing. If you are stuck in LA traffic or, you know, a lot of stop and go, if you tend to do short mileage trips, if you drive the car hard, maybe you're having a lot of fun with it. You're kind of the, you know, weekend canyon guy or gal, and you like to have fun with the car. That's okay. but it should be maintained probably more as an under severe duty usage type thing. So I would definitely recommend doing more maintenance to it than, again, what in this case what BMW says. And again, I mean, that's really kind of applicable to any car. That's pretty much it. Like I say, I mean, to me, the biggest thing is just this. It's been kind of crazy that I've, you know, seen that dollar figure. As a society in this country, anyway, we obviously are not necessarily real good about taking care of our cars, and I certainly have seen it. I've had people where they wanted to do AC repairs before they did brake repairs. And it was like, you know, obviously it's on a case by case basis, but it was like, your brakes are just about gone, you know? And so sometimes you have to kind of try to, help them to make maybe a little bit better decision than the idea of fixing their AC versus fixing their brakes. But, in any case, I hope this has been a help to you. Definitely maintenance will extend the life of a car, any car, really, if it's properly maintained. If you show some, you know, concern for it, if it goes back to finding the right repair shop that will help you with that process, and I know I talked about that in, I think, one or two other episodes, but I actually will be talking about it here in the next couple weeks, whatever. You know, in regards to, actually, it's going to be, oh, never mind. Sorry. I'm going to have an episode that talks about finding the right repair shop. So that's part of it. That's part of that communication process is them helping you to take care of your car, advising and again, talking about proper maintenance and stuff. So it is pretty important. It can definitely, over the long haul, can save you money. And the other side of it, too, is when you're selling the car, especially if it's private party, certainly, if you can show that you've done more than what the manufacturer recommends, then if you find the right buyer, it's going to, you know, they're going to value that you've done more than what the manufacturer says to do. So hopefully, again, if you find the right buyer, they're going to value that, and so potentially you can get more money on the car during the resale process. And again, that's really if you're selling it private party. If you're trading it in, they're not going to care. I mean, they're going to go, yeah, great, thank you. It's doubtful they necessarily will, you know, give you more money for the car. It's possible, but I wouldn't want to hold my breath on it. So I hope this has all been a help for you. I appreciate you listening, and hopefully you got some little better understanding about, you know, things to do with your car and how you can help the process to make your car more dependable and reliable. If you found this helpful, by all means, again, please, you know, share with family and friends and maybe put it out on your social media contacts. Again, if anybody wants to, any comments or questions, you can reach me via email under bkpodcasts5, that is the number 5, by the way, @gmail.com. Certainly, I'm sure you can reach me through the websites that this podcast is available from. Appreciate your time. I hope you have a great day, fantastic evening, and a super good tomorrow. Thanks again for listening, and goodbye. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.